And we are live. Welcome, welcome, everybody. I am Jason B. Kendrick, and next to me is not Kirkham Samuels.
No, not today.
This is Adam Feuerstein of The Forge, and we are tonight the Mad Men of Masculinity. This is your home for healthy masculinity, and we are going to be talking about, since you know Kirk's busy, he's got a lot of stuff going on his plate, prayers out to him and his wife, but yes. Adam was kind enough to step in and be our second Mad Men for the night. So I'm going to attempt to lead this show, but, you know, Kirk's better at it than I am. But tonight we're talking about the properties of masculine sovereignty. And Adam is very much the expert, as far as I know, against masculine sovereignty. I mean, especially with the Forge.
I don't know if I'm an expert of anything, but it's certainly my life's pursuit.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I want to talk about it, because I think that's one of the things that as a man growing up in the world, coming up in the world, a lot of things we aren't taught is, number one, how to be a man, much less how to have sovereignty as a man or to be our own man. And so to have these conversations, because I think most of us learn this far later than we should. You know, instead of it being a teenage thing as we're coming into manhood, it's a much later, like midlife thing where we're going, oh, this is how I get to be a man. This is how I generate sovereignty in my life. And so that's why I wanted to have this conversation, because I think, especially nowadays, it's something that's not talked about enough, much less even brought up and educated guys on.
Yeah, well, we got rid of male initiation prior to the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
And then dad went to work and mom stayed home to raise kids. So yeah, a lot of the heritage behind masculine identity, starting with initiation, which usually happened to young men, is just void in our culture, certainly in America, but that has also spread to the four corners of our world.
Yeah, I mean, the rite of passage is not really a rite anymore. It's not something that's even added in. And so now we're, as the second or third generation of nice guys after the Industrial Revolution, not having a healthy masculine influence in the home, now we get to reinitiate that and do it consciously. Whereas it was something that was historical, something that was part of family lineage. Like, this was something that the whole village, the whole tribe, everybody got involved in, where the elders would just take the boys, and usually it was a very kind of traumatizing thing where they would just come in and steal the boys out in the middle of the night, take them away from their mothers, and mothers would be all in on it. They were part of it, and they would cry and scream, no, 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 don't take my baby. Then they would take them away. Yep. They would have this rite of passage. They would tell them, now you're becoming a man. They would have to do something like go kill an animal, go skin something, or be by themselves out in the woods for a certain amount of time. And then that was how they knew, now I'm becoming a man. So they had to leave the boy thing behind, which I think most of us, and when I used to run men's groups, most men, no matter if they're in their 20s or 50s, were like, I don't really feel like a man. There wasn't that delineation of, okay, now you're becoming a man. And I think nowadays it's incumbent upon us to go, hey, this is how we're going to become men nowadays. This is how we become men. And this is what it looks like, because what it used to look like, it doesn't anymore.
Well, yeah, I would take it one step further. It doesn't look like it used to. There's some practice at play there that just kind of allows that in American society, the way that we produce the largest GDP on planet Earth doesn't leave a lot of room for that. I would go one step further, though, and say that one of the things our contemporary corporate society isn't excited about is having a generation of men that know they're men, that are empowered by the idea that they've been initiated by those who came before them.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there where what we see and what's been going on, and I've made a conspiracy theory, I've kind of joked about it, but I mean, there has been a war on masculinity, because a healthy masculine man with his own individual sovereignty is not easily controlled. He has his own mind, he has his own backbone, and he's going to tell you no, and he's going to protect his family. So this war on masculinity that has decimated what used to be the nuclear family, even prior to that, the village and the community that all used to come together to raise the children, to make healthy families and healthy individuals, they've taken that out. And so now we're all, now we're all individuals.
Yeah. Well, we're individuals and we're free to identify with things that we haven't actually created in the real world. And you're right. Is that a war on masculinity? I don't know if it's as much a war as it is a substitution of convenience.
Right.
There's so many things that make life convenient. We're faced with a different kind of choice than our grandfathers were. World War II was not a convenience for the men who served, like both of my grandparents, right? But today, we don't have those kind of issues, despite what the news would have you tell us. There just isn't. So what we are is we're saturated with conveniences. You know, we have pornography and online streaming and social media and all the things that detract us from what we are integrally inside. And a lot of times, most impactfully from the purpose that was put inside of us before we came into this world by God.
Yeah, it is a big discussion topic. It is a big thing where most men, even if they want to be a masculine, healthy man with sovereignty, don't know what that looks like or what that is. And that's why I think doing this episode is so important, because we can at least give some principles, give some of the ingredients to this is how you become a masculine man with sovereignty and what that might look like. Because I think you've said it before, and I think we've said it on the last episode you were here, that it just looks different now. It's still providing, it's still protecting, it's still, you know, leading the family, presiding, as it were. It just looks different now. Now you're not going out and having to hunt and skin and do all those things. It's a little different, but you're still doing it. So being the quote-unquote expert in the room now, let's have you talk a little bit about what that looks like nowadays and how it's still the same. It just, you know, has been skewed a little bit.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned already, I've got a list here in front of me, is boundaries. I mean, that used to be what happened. I know it was that way when I grew up. My father and my grandparents would define the boundaries of what we were to do within and outside of our family. So by the time I came 18 and was ready to go out on my own, whether it was go away to college or get married in a few years after that, whatever it was, I was 95% the product of the wisdom, whether I chose to listen to that in full or not, which of course at that age you don't always do. But that wisdom of those men that came before me was planted inside me through storytelling and fellowship through 18 years of life, Christmases, birthdays, everything that we did together. And I hung on those stories, you know, on the things that they told us that happened in the old days, how my grandfather moved out west, how my other grandfather was supposed to go to war and turned around and went and got my grandma, brought her back, and then deployed so that she'd be there when he got back. I mean, these incredible, harrowing stories that we would compare ourselves to. It's a healthy comparison and a healthy way to provoke us into masculinity, into manhood, so that when our families come along someday, when we find ourselves having children or a wife or even just participating in a community, you don't have to have a family or even be married to do this. We can contribute as a pillar, as a viable part of that community, a necessary part, not an unnecessary part, a necessary part, because we provide the strength, we provide leadership for that community to operate in the wake of, so that the rest of those, the children and women, are free to be who they are and develop loving, caring, nurturing communities behind us. Part of that is boundaries. There's several, but that's one of the things that we can do in contemporary society. That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
We go out, kids, you want to be on social media, you want to go out on the internet, you want to watch, you know, stream movies, all that kind of thing, fine. There's a beginning and an end to that. And the reason isn't to control children or anybody. The reason is so that we go so far down the road of convenience, we pull the reins back through discipline, which is another masculine characteristic, and bring them back to the source of their human learning, which is their family, their influence. If it's communal, it doesn't have to be kids again, then neighbors get together, communities get together. There's limitations on how far we go into convenience and the boundary that then is supported by discipline that the masculine can then help to manage to keep that community strong, so that outside influences that have ambitions that maybe aren't in support of what that community is developed for, what that community came to be, to stood for, the healthy part of it, the good people that come from that community, that are produced from the influence and the wisdom shared within that closed circuit of human, you know, interaction, can continue and thrive and be safe.
Yeah, I love that you brought up boundaries first, because I think that's one of the things that most guys don't understand what that looks like. And for most of us, we don't realize that our mere presence and our influence creates the boundaries that we want to see. And like you're talking about with the influence of social media and everything, being there to say, okay, that's enough. Let's go outside. Let's have some us time. Let's get out into nature, instead of it just being like, because I mean, granted, we grew up in a different era. So there wasn't all the internet. There wasn't all the social media. There wasn't all the stuff. But so many kids nowadays are being raised by Wi-Fi and internet and streaming services, because unfortunately, there's lots of single mothers who are overwhelmed, overworked. They don't have the support that they need from a healthy man there to be that pillar, as you were talking about, to give them the support that they need. So they do the best they can. And a lot of times, I just sit them in front of the TV. And so now they're just engorging themselves on all of this influence that has nothing to do with what maybe their parents really want them to experience or to ingest.
Well, that brings up another element, the ability to defend. Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't mean weapons. It can mean weapons, but it can mean combat. But that happens so rarely. The truth is we live in the safest society we've ever lived in. So then what's protection? Protection is when you take that stuff away. When you stop it, again, not to control, but because if you raise a child or watch a fellow person in your community fall victim to this constantly staring at little pieces of plastic all the time, then you can see the degradation. They know it's published everywhere, the psychological damage. But that's only half the equation. The other half of the equation is you can watch those people withdraw from being a contributable part of a community. And that's where they find their satisfaction. And for men, there's no way to test your mettle online. Doesn't exist. I don't care what video game it is. I don't care what goggles you put on, what joystick you put in your lap. There isn't a way to do that. Men learn confidence not by convenience. They learn worthlessness through convenience. They learn their own personal value. Learn it by testing their mettle against something.
Right. And I mean, that goes back to what we talk about all the time. Iron sharpens iron.
Exactly.
And it's not about this combative competition. It's about showing up and contributing and going through a struggle right next to other guys. And that's part of that getting out and getting away from. Because, so many of the younger generation now, they identify with their online world as real and they recede from the actual real world. And they don't deal with reality. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to deal with those things. And so then you get this kind of coddled generation of like, oh, well, you hurt my feelings. Well, because they don't have any of the tools or any of the experience of having to deal with someone else who disagrees with them or someone else who makes fun of them. So when you're behind your screen and there's no physical interaction and there's no physical consequences, it's very easy to be like, oh, I'm a tough guy. And then you get all these kids who are trolls now are being the nastiest they can be because there's no consequences.
Yeah. Well, and they're taught that. I don't know. I'm sorry, but shame on fathers who put laptops in front of their children at the dinner table. Mm. That's judgmental as that sounds, and I know we all cringe at that in contemporary society, but that young boy who's staring into that screen is learning that he has no value. Mm. We have to generate our value as men. We have to create it. It comes from our contribution. Our contribution comes from our fortitude and our confidence that we can provide that contribution, that there's some resource that we go out and hunt for, gather, support, supply, whatever it is, and bring into our communities. We have to go out and try, and sometimes we have to fail. In fact, we always have to fail in the beginning so that we can learn that, because then we realize the depth and the hardships and the amount of strength that we've got to produce and muster in order to provide.
Well, speaking of contribution, it's time for us to contribute ourselves a break here. So we, as the Mad Men of Masculinity, will be right back here on KLDC. All right, cool. How are we sounding? We doing all right? Are you watching on YouTube? Are you seeing what it sounds like there? That's fine, as long as you can hear us, we're doing okay. Groovy, that's what we want to hear. All right. I'm going to use the timer now, so we'll get the little beep in, so that way I can keep us on track. Let me know when you're ready, sir.
Me? Oh, I'm always ready, all right. I think.
And we're back. It is the Mad Men of Masculinity right here on KLDC, 1220 AM in the Mile High City. And tonight we are talking about the properties of masculine sovereignty with Adam Feuerstein of The Forge. Tell everybody about The Forge a little bit, because I know this is a big thing that is just kind of taken off. I mean, kind of making me a little jealous with how well this is going. So tell the listeners about The Forge, because, I mean, it's a necessary thing. It's something we all need, but... You know, especially as guys nowadays. So men, if you're looking for something to be a part of, something to be to help sharpen your iron and get around other guys, the Forge that Adam puts on is probably something that you might want to look into. So how can guys learn about it and get into it?
Easily enough at our website, the-forge.life is our website. Again, the-forge.life. And we're a men's only organization that focuses on the pursuit and discovery of our own personal masculine sovereignty. So We have bi-weekly live events on Wednesday nights that men can join. We are on the very, very cutting edge of launching our own online platform, social media. We'll have live streams, videos, classes, all kinds of content. We operate and grow because this message is less than acceptable by Meta. I can tell you that's been basically a dead-end road. To anybody who's worried about censorship, it's kind of amazing how obvious they make it. So we have an ambassadorship program. Those guys reach out and educate other men on how they can join and what they can do to be a part of our little organization.
Well, I appreciate the work you do. I mean, that's one of the reasons we want to have you as a part of this and collaborate with us, because we're basically doing the same work in our own unique way. And, you know, I love that. So getting back to masculine sovereignty, we talked about boundaries. We talked about how we contribute. And one of the things you brought up was discipline and how you can add discipline as a man and not look like how it used to look. Can you just expand on that a little bit more? Because I know there's probably a lot of guys like, well, how do I discipline my guy? Because he's, you know, my little guy, he's always on the computer, he's always on the video games, he's always on, you know, doing this, and that's just what, you know, that's his world. What, how do I discipline him to become more healthy without being negative or being controlling? Or, you know, because I can hear a lot of guys going, well, that's just how it is nowadays.
Yeah, well, it can be. And if you do that, then your son is going to grow up to be the product of somebody else's influence.
Mm.
I'll leave it up to the individual.
Say that again.
I said you can do that, but your son will grow up to be largely the product of somebody else's influence.
I think that's not something that people pay enough attention to. It's like, well, if you're not influencing your kids, if you're not influencing your life, who is? Because somebody is.
The guys who pay for advertising online.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who write stories that make men out to be bumbling, fumbling idiots. The men with an agenda to shrink the masculinity in our society, because it's really the largest source of opposition to those who have ill intent towards our communities. And by community, I mean the United States.
Right. Well, and this is one of the things, too, where sometimes those who are profit-driven when it comes to business, you know, when there's not a good enough checks and balances system when you get to a certain level, then they just look at it as profit driven. So, okay, well, men will say no, men will control. They will say they will not allow us to gain this revenue from their family. So now we have to negate their influence so that we can gain that revenue.
Yeah. Put them to sleep. So as far as discipline, I mean, young boys, little boys, I have two sons in addition to four daughters, learn from nature. They learn from nature because nature is this incredible place of wonder and adventure. I'm 47. I can't. My adventure van is in the parking lot right now. I drove it down here tonight, and I'm leaving at 3:00 in the morning to go to Arkansas to ride my mountain bike.
Wow.
All over Bentonville. And I do that because it's an adventure. Because I grew up in a family where I was taught adventure, which is both exciting and thrilling, but it also teaches very powerful lessons that you get to learn directly from nature. You go out, you try something, hiking, climbing, climb trees, climb rocks, whatever it is you do, go chase after animals, go hunting, go fishing, whatever it is that you want to do in nature. And she has an incredible way of teaching you these lessons that both allow you to understand in a loving, caring, natural sense, humility, meaning being to be humbled by nature, but also what you are able to accomplish. And the reward center that little boys react to that are incredibly influenced, more than their fathers can influence them directly, is in that, gee, Dad, I tried something, I fell down, I tried again, and I made it.
Yeah.
That confidence cannot be replicated anywhere else in human existence outside the presence of father with a young child and in nature of some version.
Yeah, and that's something that one of the reasons, I think, the lack of having a father in the home, because a lot of guys who may not have that experience, I know even myself growing up, and I even think back to my father, because his father passed when he was 5 years old, so he didn't have necessarily that experience, so he just assumed he didn't know what to do. But it's not about what you do as much as your presence there, because little boys learn by watching and by being in your presence and seeing how you handle things and taking them out into nature. I know there was a couple times where he promised to take me camping somewhere, and it didn't follow through. And I remember being very disappointed about that. And even as a little boy, you're like, why would I be disappointed about being out in the woods? But it's like, I wanted to be with Dad. I wanted to have that experience. And so just by being present and being yourself, you are training your little boys. You are teaching them those things that they need to learn. And when you're not there, then they don't get those lessons. And as mothers, as much as they try, they aren't masculine.
No.
They're not men. They can't teach those same lessons. So you just need to be there and then figure it out. You know, fail forward. I think some of the best lessons our kids learn from us are when we fall flat on our face and then we get back up and do it again. Because they go, oh, well, if Dad can do it, maybe I can do it too.
We were mountain biking when my son Jesse was a young boy at Keystone Bike Park. We got down closer to the basin. We were with my buddy Poe, and my buddy tells Jesse, be very careful coming down this face, you know, it's like the drop part into the basin, because that jump down there is a whole lot bigger than it looks. Jesse's like, yeah, I got it. Don't worry about it. Drops in, goes straight down, hits the jump, clears the, so he goes off the launch, clears the catch, and goes face down on flat ground. And it happened to be that afternoon was a wine tasting party, so that patio, anybody's been to Keystone knows what I'm talking about, and slams into the ground. Thank God there was a nurse. He was knocked unconscious. A nurse came out and helped him. When they rolled him over, the inside of his glasses were coated with blood that shot out of his eyeballs. He came to, we spent a couple hours kind of coming around, get back to the car, take off our gear, and he says, Dad, I want to go again.
Wow.
And I'm like, the fear, right, that comes over you is like, oh my God, what do I do? And I froze until I thought of my own father. And I knew, as hard as it would be, he would want me to go again because he can't leave the mountain defeated.
Right.
The mountain didn't kill you. And if that little boy didn't do it, he did it. He went back to the top. Literally, we had to wipe the blood off the inside of his glasses and go ride the mountain again. And the whole time, I'm tearing up. I'm crying. Like, please don't get hurt. Nothing else, like, right? But as his father, I had to do that. There's no way around that.
Well, and that's the lessons that I think the bubble wrap kind of generation, the helicopter parents, are not teaching their kids. It's like, you know, how to fall down. Because I remember learning how to ride a bike and, you know, learning how to skateboard and just doing these things. And of course, granted, in our generation, it was better, maybe. You know, I think it's better because that was my generation. But I mean, we were kicked out of the house. Yeah. Go explore, go learn things. And we learned to survive. We learned to get, you know, to help with conflict or to ease conflict between us and our friends. There's no adults around. It was just us and water hoses and whatever sandwiches we can get from whichever mom was home, you know.
Yeah. I remember 10-cent hot dog day at Dairy Queen. That probably makes me sound older than I think. But you had a dollar, man. You can eat enough hot dogs to ride your bike for 3 days straight.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's the thing that the internet generation, the streaming generation, the gaming generation, they're not getting. They're stuck inside, which, I mean, that's kind of part of the whole demasculinization agenda is to get us away from learning these lessons and learning how to fall down and pick ourselves back up and how to be masculine and how to be someone who has their own sovereignty and knows who they are. Because when you're being influenced by social media or you're being influenced by a video game or some other person who just wants your money, just wants you to be a consumer, you don't know who you are, much less what your boundaries are, what your foundation is, and how to be a man who says, no, that's not for me.
Yeah. And when we don't do that, there's this incredible resource out there that allows kids to start, or young boys to start thinking about themselves in that way. Start thinking that they're insufficient. My other son, Nate. Nate is not my genetic son, but I don't count genetics in our family. But I can tell you, a couple of years ago, Nate's sitting on the couch watching video games. He's not working. You know, he's like early 20s. And it's like, well, you know, how's the job going? Blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of dance around the issue. And one day we're just like, Nate, next month you don't live here. We love you. We care for you. But we will not stand by and watch your life go down the tubes, okay? So Nate goes out and finds a place, realizes that he's on his own. That was about a year and a half ago. Nate's already been approached by Lockheed Martin and NASA to work for them, because not only did he get off the couch and put down the video game controller, he still plays video games, no problem with it. There's nothing wrong with video games. He just does it in a controlled, disciplined way, because he not only works full time, lives completely on his own, but he also goes to school. And he's in a career program where two semesters in, Lockheed Martin and NASA are already trying to recruit him.
That's awesome.
But the point is, I'm not trying to talk about our decision. What he learned, the difference between Nate on the couch and Nate working at NASA, is confidence.
Yep.
And it took that go and him to go a step into the world, scary as it is, and pay his rent the first time and get in school. He also had the highest college entrance score on his exam in the history of the college he's going to. all these things. He learned confidence.
Yeah.
And that's not what they, that's the only way they can get that.
Yeah. I mean, if Kirk was here, he would tell you a story of his son who, his senior year was not good. It was not good. And Kirk was the only one that was like, he's got to go out and, you know, fail forward. He's got to go out and get his hands dirty. He's got to go out and fall on his face. He's got to figure this out. And now he is so successful. I mean, he's going to be a corpsman in the Navy. I mean, he's just over the moon doing things that he wouldn't be doing if somebody had overcoddled him, because all the ladies were like, oh, we got to love him into it. No, he's a young man. Yeah. He needs to get out there and get dirty and fall on his face, and he's got to be challenged. And that's where the challenge doesn't come from the video game. The challenge doesn't come from the screen. Yeah. Challenge comes from actually getting out there. And sometimes the best thing you can do for a young man, or any child for that matter, is to let them go out and just you be there as a safety net, but allow them to go out and learn. Because if we try to teach them everything, and that's the thing, so many times as the older generation, the parents, we think we know what's best for that child. What we don't know is what is best for that child. They've got to go out and figure out what's best for them. They got to figure out what their niche is, what their passion is. And if you don't allow them to go do that, then they're just going to sit on the couch and go, well, dad's taking care of it. Mom's taking care of me. They're cooking and cleaning and everything else. It's like, well, and then you get these parents like, I've got a failure to launch here. My kid won't get out of the house. Well, did you kick him out? Well, no, I can't be that mean. Well, then he's not going to get out, because they're pragmatists. Kids, for the most part, are pragmatists. Like, well, if mom and dad are going to pay for it, why should I leave?
Yeah, well, that's right. And, you know, we're afraid to do that. And women take a nurturing role. They're not wrong. They're perfectly right. What needs to happen in that same circumstance is a husband, a man in that family. It doesn't have to be a husband. It doesn't have to be that way. But a man, a masculine influence. It could be somebody from the community that comes in and shows that young man that he can do it.
Yeah. And acts as that example.
Exactly.
Speaking of an example, we need to example ourselves a little break here. So we will be right back right here on the Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC, 1220 AM in the Mile High City. Maybe. Well, mine's off.
Mine's completely off. I even played music a minute ago just to make sure nothing
was coming out of it. Is your mic turned off too?
Ooh, that may not be. It is now. Sorry about that.
That's all right. If it's a slight echo, we're good. It's when it's the bad echo, which you know right away. So he probably okay. would have been blowing us up. Thank you, Kirk. Okay, we're good now. We are back right here on the Mad Men Show in the Mile High City, 1220 AM, KLDC. Make sure to check us out Saturdays at 8, Wednesdays at 6 on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and pretty much anywhere else you can find us. We're out there everywhere. Speaking of, just before we get back into the principles of masculine sovereignty, you have your own podcast, sir.
Yeah, yes, we do.
How do people find that? Because I got to be a guest on there, and it was pretty awesome. I mean, you got the coolest studio, makes our studio look like a trailer park village. But anyway,
I don't know about that. No, it was a wonderful podcast. In fact, I meant to tell you, the guys that have been listening to it as we go through post-production are like, man, that's an amazing podcast you guys put together. So thank you for being
awesome.
On it.
I'm glad it was me and not somebody else.
Yeah, it's called The Forge, Spotify. I did, you know, all the normal places. We're about to launch on YouTube. We do film all the podcasts, but we're just now learning how to best edit those and get those launched. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll start uploading to YouTube as well.
I'm super excited to be able to share that. And, you know, it's so nice to get out here and collaborate with guys who are doing similar work in their own way and spreading healthy masculinity, spreading, you know, masculine sovereignty, and just being part of the wave and the tide, as Kirk would say, you know, the tide that raises all ships. So I'm just excited about that. I'm excited to be a part of that. And, you know, so happy you could be here to fill in for Kirk, because he's got a lot going on right now. And we're just, you know, sending him prayers and love and, you know, looking for him to be back next week. But, you know, that's just the way life goes. And having, this is why, gentlemen, we talk about, you got to have a crew. You got to have, you know, we got the Mad Men Mafia. He's got the Forge Mafia. We got all, you know, all these crews. You got to have a crew around you. You got to have guys around you just to fill in, just to be there for support. Cause you know, it is scary out there. And, you know, for the young men, if you don't have a crew, if you don't maybe have a father around, you know, find one, Yeah. Or adopt one. Join the Forge. Join the Mad Men Mafia. But just get guys around you so that you can feel supported. Because it's much easier to go out there and fall on your face and try things and be adventurous and dangerous and get out in the world and you know, be challenge yourself with knowing that you have guys that support you, that got your back. You know, sometimes I know in my experience, like, I always felt like it was just me. So there's only so far I was willing to go because, Lord have mercy, it's like, if I fall on my face, that's it. You know, I'm picking myself up. I got to dust myself off. I don't have any support. But if I would have taken advantage of the men in my community or men's groups or things like the Forge, you know, those communities, you feel just much more supported. You feel like you can get out there and be a little more daring because you know there's guys there that can support you.
Well, and one last little piece, that support is natural. Hmm. It's the way things are meant to be and have been for a very, very long time. You're not doing something that's somehow eccentric. It's essential.
Yeah, the funny thing is we hear a lot that, you know, there's this stereotype that men are always mean and bullying, stuff like that. I mean, growing up as a nice guy, probably a second generation nice guy, that was always my initial thought. Like, oh, I don't want to hang out with guys. They'll be mean and bully me and put me down, this and that. That's just kind of the rite of passage thing. You know, guys are always kind of putting each other down, but that's love. And the interesting thing is more guys, for the most part, are more accepting of who you are as who you are. You know, not some version of you, not what they can get from you, but just you as who you are. And that's part of that just natural support of masculinity. Like, yeah, show up. You be as weird as you want to be. We still will accept you and take you in. We may give you a hard time, but that's just because we care about you. What is the old saying? If I'm too nice to you, then I probably don't like you.
No, that's funny. We had one of the guys at the Forge. He's got a financial issue going on in his life. He's dealing with it with absolute integrity, but he wanted some advice. So he drafted an email, sent the email, and briefly after that, he and I had a conversation. He's like, man, he was walking me through what it had happened already. He's like, I sent this email, and he was convinced that's it. He's like, they're going to throw me out. Like, that's it. I screwed this up. I knew it was going to come. This was too good to be true. And I sent this email, and he said as soon as he got to about the peak of that anxiety attack, he got the response from the other Forge member, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, just go talk to this guy. I've done this before. You know, this gentleman here that I know is a connection of mine. Call him, give him my name. He's going to help take care of you, you know, and help you work through this problem and give you the advice you're looking for. And he said, I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that when you, as a guy, especially as you get older and you naturally start to isolate, because most of us have our best friends when we're in high school, when we're in college, maybe in the military. And then once you get past that, it's just natural for us to kind of isolate. You know, you have friends or coworkers and you're kind of friends, whatever. Maybe you got some buddies that you can play golf with, but you just have less and less guys. So it's incumbent upon us to prioritize having men around us because there's so many levels of experience. There's so many, you know, things of, you know, experiences and knowledge that other men have that you may not. And a lot of times it's what we don't know that gets in our way because we assume, oh, well, if I don't know it, then I know for me, my perfectionistic mindset, well, if I can't do it right the first time or I don't know it, then I shouldn't just do it. Well, maybe there's a guy out there, just like you said, could you say, hey, this is what I'm attempting or this is what I'm thinking. They say, oh, yeah, here you go.
Well, and it's funny because we all actually, what I'm learning since I've been doing this, is we all kind of learn we're running into all the same issues.
Yeah.
The wisdom that comes from a group of men getting together to share is that they've each dealt with that same issue a different way. So whatever issue it is that you think you're the only person in the world that's ever faced it, you're not.
Right.
You're not the only person. Many, many other people. In fact, you wouldn't believe how many people have faced exactly what you're facing. Don't think that. Understand that we're all facing very similar issues. The wisdom comes from the dynamics and the ways we've all responded to those issues. And then the value in that wisdom comes from us sharing it.
Yeah. It's that, what was it? I think Kirk has said it 100 times. It's like, you know, most guys think they're on an island, but if you looked at it, it'd probably be the most populated island on the planet because we're all doing the same thing. You know, we all think it's just us. And that's why getting around other guys and having conversations, because all these things we're dealing with, we think we're dealing with alone. And we just think we are. As soon as you start opening up and just saying, hey, I'm struggling with this or this is going on, you're going to have probably every guy in there going, oh, yeah, me too. Or I've already done that or I already dealt with that and here's how I dealt with it or here's what my experience is. And that's how you build your own kind of masculine foundation and you start to develop that sovereignty because you realize I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm a perfectly functioning man just dealing with things in my way because of how I grew up. And so having these extra examples of other men helps you to realize that, hey, maybe there's nothing wrong with me. Maybe I just need to expand a little more or share a little more, get a little more support.
Yeah, and then you nailed it. Like, that's how these things grow, is overcoming, letting go of the fear that you're going to bring something to the table that we haven't already heard. You won't. And the men's and the other men's reaction to that, because it won't be what you think it is. I can promise you that.
That's one of the things I love, is the anxiety that most men have about opening up. And then as soon as they do, you see the tears well up in other guys' eyes, and they're like, oh, yeah, me too. And sometimes that's the bravest thing. That's why having these groups, having men's groups, having a group of guys you can get around and actually say, hey, I'm dealing with this right now. I'm struggling with this. Because those guys will be able to go, yeah, oh, yeah, I've had that experience. And, you know, you're not the only one. And that's the biggest thing. Most guys, you know, that analogy again, they think they're an island. They think they're isolated by themselves, but you're not. Everybody, every guy is dealing with the same things. You know, the only difference between you and any other guy is time and opportunity.
Yeah, whether it has or hasn't happened yet and how long till it does.
Right.
Well, that's one of the other principles that we talk about, is emotional mastery. That's kind of an interesting way to phrase it. I don't know that anybody ever actually masters their emotion, but some of the emotions we're talking about often is fear. Yeah. And this isn't a bunch of guys sitting around in a room bawling their eyes out, although there's a lot of emotion that happens. It's about expressing what's really going on, truth, absolute truth. And when you send truth, when you display truth, you get truth back.
Yeah, it's what is it? Most people would rather be in the coffin than given the eulogy. It's the same sort of thing. Like, most guys are terrified of opening their mouths and saying, I'm afraid. And, you know, the interesting thing is, when you get into the biochemistry of it, fear and excitement are the same chemically, but it's just what's the spin we're putting on it? What's the angle we're looking at it from? Because when you get on a roller coaster, when you ride your mountain bike down a hill and jump a jump and land on your face, that's exciting. Yeah. But it's also, it will scare you to death. Yeah. And, you know, it's the same chemically. It's just, how are you looking at it? And so a lot of times when you are in fear, having men around you just to say, hey, I'm afraid of this.
Yeah.
And then hearing their experiences and realize they made it through it. They made it through that fire, that flood, that tornado, whatever that storm was in their life. You realize, well, maybe I can too. And then asking for support will make your life a whole lot easier. So, because this Lone Ranger thing is killing us, guys.
Well, and sometimes you realize they didn't just make it through. They maybe discovered a part of their life's purpose.
Yeah.
Or maybe they discovered a plan that God has for them that they weren't aware of. And then when they look at that in hindsight, they realize they find supreme gratitude in the future for a situation they agonized over in real time. And when you hear that from somebody else, opportunity opens up. Hey, I've been through that. Oh, I remember that. You know, that wasn't fun, but let me explain to you what happened 2 years later, 3 years later, 5 years later. And all of a sudden you can be inspired in that situation where right now you're sitting at home alone, isolated, wondering if you're even going to survive it.
Yeah, so many men nowadays, and I know I've gone through my own version of this. See, it's not just you. I've gone through my own version of being so isolated and so afraid of expressing what I was struggling with, that whatever that struggle was almost took me out. Mm. And then you get to a point where you're like, well, let me either do some research or let me just say that whatever this thing is. And then you see, because you're so afraid of, especially us as guys, we're given that suck it up, be a man, you know, don't feel the pain, pour some salt in the wound, rub some dirt in it, whatever.
Yep.
So we don't give ourselves the opportunity of actually expressing what that is. Yep. And it's the unexpressed things, the unexpressed pains that end up killing us in the long run.
Yeah. That's why men are 3.9 times more likely to commit suicide than women.
Yeah, because we're not, like you're talking about the emotional mastery. For men, emotional mastery is, number one, realizing you have emotions, being able to identify them and express them. And a lot of times what we're taught is, because we live in this kind of feminine-centric society now where it's like, be like a woman, express your emotions this way, talk about it. Men don't do that.
Yep.
We don't talk about our emotions that way. We may, in a men's group, say, hey, I'm feeling this. If I'm emotionally educated enough to be able to identify that emotion, I can say, I'm feeling this.
Yeah.
But then we usually work through it doing something. There's some activity, going to the gym, building something. I mean, yes, there are those times where you need to cry it out. You need to get that emotion out because it's just been built up too long. But being in a men's group in a situation with other men who understand, who have either been there or are going to be there, is much more cathartic than trying to work this out with your woman, who wants you to work it out the way she works out. They want to talk it out. That's not how men do it. Actually, I was watching something today, and it makes a whole lot of sense. How women deal with their emotions is painful for a man, and how men deal with their emotions is painful for a woman. A woman needs to talk it out. A man needs to feel it and work it out.
Yeah.
So they're two different things. So when your girl is actually trying to have that intimacy and work through her emotions with you. As a man, you want to fix it. And it's stressful for a man. You're like, I don't want to fix it. And she just wants to talk it out. And so for us men, we got to figure out how we work through our emotions. And a lot of times it takes being around other guys who are doing the same thing.
Yeah. When you get that feedback. And so really, emotional mastery from the masculine perspective is an exercise in integrity. And it doesn't mean you don't have integrity if you don't have that. But what it does is it speaks to that end. So when you come to a place where you need, there is an emotional insertion going on that you need to deal with and express, having an understanding of what that is allows you to communicate that with integrity to others. And the and that's what the other men really, really are receptive of.
Yeah, it's when you, and especially like if you were one of the guys and you know, or you haven't had any emotional education, you're not sure, you know, you don't have an EQ yet, you haven't gotten a score, and you're like, I'm not even sure what I'm feeling. Nope. Getting around other guys and having them just ask you questions like, well, what does it feel like? How do you know, what does it make you feel? What is it, what do you want to do with it? They can give you ideas, they can educate you and go, okay, well, that sounds like, you know, you're depressed, or it sounds like you're in fear of this, or it sounds like this, and this is what I had to do, or this is how I dealt with it. But when you don't have those examples and we're not willing to open up, you know, yeah, it's scary for us guys. It's fearful, you know, a fearful thing to talk about these things. But if you don't, it's going to kill you.
Well, and that's one thing, too, that men can do in response to that is make sure that what you're saying is the whole story as well.
Yeah.
And it's tough to put women in that position. When you're in a group of guys, you're like, okay, I hear you, but there's something else to this story. You haven't spoken in a complete sentence yet. Let's get to what we're talking about. Draw that out of him.
Yeah, and that's something that we as guys do. We like to, you know, hide it and abbreviate and not actually just say what we need to say.
Yeah.
And once you say it, that's the most freeing thing. That's the most cathartic thing.
Yeah.
That's what's going to set you free and get you to that next level.
Yeah.
Speaking of next level, it's time to take a next level break. We'll be right back. Right here on KLDC, 1220 AM in the Mile High City. I had this whole list like you did, but I don't even know if we've touched on it. But it was like the first six things of no one owes you a thing. Everything in life is a choice. Focus only on what you can control. Operate in reality. Accept responsibility and be accountable to yourself. I was going to be like, oh, let's talk about these things, but I don't even think we necessarily need to.
Well, the way we're talking about it allows us to kind of touch on, at least on, I wasn't aware of your list on this one. This comes from a little bit of a different angle, but I mean, personal responsibility is the first thing.
Yeah. Well, and that comes from actually getting out in the world and living in reality.
No.
So I got to kick your kids out of the house. They need some reality.
Will this be the last segment?
This is already the last one, yeah.
Oh, man.
It goes like so fast.
I always worry, like, because I lose track. It goes so quickly.
It goes, yeah. It's like you're so worried about how are we going to do an hour when you start, and then also you're like, are we done already? It's amazing.
It is. It's quick.
Yes, that's right. It is the Mad Men Show. We are back. I am Jason B. Kendrick. This guy is Adam Feuerstein, and we are here talking about the principles of masculine sovereignty. So we talked about our list during the break. So if you don't get us on YouTube, go get on YouTube and check us out, because we talk about different things during the break that you won't get over the air. But yeah, we have our list. Like mine was no one owes you a thing. So that's part of being a masculine, you know, masculine sovereign man, is knowing that it's all on you. No one owes you a thing. The caveat there is there's always support. All you have to do is ask for it. But that's the thing, is we think, oh, well, it's all on me. I know I'm very, very guilty of this. Like, being emotionally isolated, thinking I'm living on an island by myself. I got to do it all by myself. Well, then you don't ask for help. Then you don't allow other men to serve you and to gain that joy of service and love by actually being able to support you. I mean, that, in your experience, especially with the Forge, like how often does this come up where some guy's just struggling but he just won't ask for help?
Well, honestly, the ambassadors do a really good job of kind of distinguishing that. So by the time they get to the Forge, they're at least a little bit prepped on that.
Okay.
But what I've experienced at the gatherings that we have is getting the entire thing out.
Right. Yeah.
You know, well, this is bugging me. And, you know, I don't know how many times, like, it's almost like an instant understanding that there's some neglect going on when they say, well, but it's okay, it's not that big a deal, or it's nothing I can't deal with.
Right.
I can just deal with it. It's like I understand and empathize with that response, but we're talking about it.
Yeah.
If you could deal with it easily, And of course, what they don't want to do is appear weak. And I completely understand that. They're not wrong at all. They've had all these life experiences we all have that kind of teach them that sometimes. I mean, a lot of times guys can go out and say these things and it blows up in their face. Mm. A lot of guys can go out and talk to women who are like, what?
Yeah,
well, that's just silly. Well,
that's the first mistake right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they're shot down, and then they start to close down. We talk all the time about young girls in school that raise their hand, and the teacher kind of exploits whatever response they give, and then they're shut down. I got news for you. That's not exclusive to females. That happens to young men and men as we get older. We go to work. We have bosses, and when we're stricken for something that we thought was the proper thing to do or made to feel ignorant or worse, weak, and that has an impact on us too, and it alters the way we talk about the things that come up in our lives in the future.
Yeah, that's something that brings up a good point. Something I think we should probably touch on a little bit is that you're never upset for the reason you think. And no. This goes for men, women, and everybody. You may be upset about X, Y, and Z, and you think it's because of the coffee or their parking space or the guy that cut you off. No, there's an underlying thing, and that's why having somebody who will challenge you and help you peel back those layers to, it's not about the coffee, it's not about the parking space, it's not even about my wife, it's about the trauma I experienced that I'm afraid to admit, as you know, that experience as a child or whatnot, yeah. And the story I'm telling myself that I'm less than worthless or whatnot. And these are all of the, what's the word? That word just went out of my head. It's what they deal with at the hospital instead of dealing with
trauma.
The cure, it's the symptoms.
Symptoms, okay.
So, yeah, whatever it is you're upset about is the symptom of what is really going on. And so you need somebody to help you talk through that, unless you're just the emotional master, you know, the guru of all your emotions and stuff. But most likely, if you're a human being and a human man, you're going to need somebody to talk with, because a lot of times we don't see our own blind spots. And so coming in, like you were saying, oh, I got this issue, but it's not that big a deal. Oh, really? Let's dig into that and see what's really underneath that.
Yeah. Well, and again, when we frame that in an environment where espousing that comes in parallel with integrity, then we have a very masculine driving force. It's not so much about sitting around saying, oh, it's okay, you know, mommy should have tucked you in at night and daddy was a little bit too hard on you. I mean, we're talking about, you know, nominal things. But rather, you know, that the idea of how that's affecting your life, and that these things kind of, that they come out and they come out in complete and total ways because you're motivated by now recognizing the things that have happened to you, but also recognizing in this moment now when you're talking about, because Jason, I agree with you, it's very rarely about what's really happening in front of us. That's more of a materialistic expenditure of our past experience or the anger, whatever's built up behind that, versus what's really underlying there. But when you put together a community of men where talking about what's really, to your point, going on parallels integrity and is rewarded with a response that only integrity can bring, right? And personal responsibility, that goes hand in hand. Then all of a sudden you're incentivized in a way that you've not only never been incentivized to do, but you actually may have been traumatized for even trying.
Yeah, that was one of, you know, my experiences. I'm sure a lot of guys had that experience when it was, you know, the straight, you know, straighten up and fly right, suck it up, you know, don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about thing. Like when you had attempted to express because you had an uneducated father or someone who just didn't have the skill set to deal with your emotions, so you get suppressed. And so then you go through life going, well, I can't express that. I can't speak on that. And then you just keep shoving it down and then wonder why you struggle. I know for me, there was a lot of denial because I looked at other people who had it quote unquote worse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not getting beat. I'm not, you know, my dad's not a crazy alcoholic or this and that. I got food and clothes and whatnot. But then you don't know what's missing because that's just how you grow up. And then you're like, well, you start with the symptoms. Well, why am I struggling with this and this and this? Then you work your way back to, oh, well, there was some neglect there because they didn't have the skill set to, you know, deal with their emotions, much less mine.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with your emotions, or how do you help other guys, you know, in the forge kind of get to that place where it's like, okay, it's not about that, but what's underneath it?
So I'm kind of excited at the moment because we're developing a program that really is kind of like the first part. I mean, basically our entire program is kind of about that. What we're putting together now is about working out. It's a fitness program. But it's different. It's not about, you know, making sure you eat broccoli and only so many calories. That's not the point of it. Those resources are available. But that's not directed at that. It's about connecting the emotional state that you're in, what's ever really going on, your integrity, and an understanding that by moving your body, right, whether that's lifting weights or jogging, it doesn't matter to any of these things, that you can exercise those in a way where there's no harm from letting that go.
Yeah.
And in fact, when you do that physically and your body gets into motion, there can be even a physical reward that goes in along with the integrity and the reward, the way you're rewarded for integrity and personal responsibility, all wrapped into one with absolutely no side effects.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've noticed, that as you kind of age and get some maturity, you realize a lot of things that other people say don't matter. And when you dig underneath that, you realize the reason they trigger you in the first place is because some part of you thinks that what they said is true. There's some part of you that whatever they said triggers your fear. That's why, you know, women are better arguers than us, because they pay attention to those things that trigger you, and then they save those for those good arguments.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's why you're going to be alone for the rest of your life or whatever. And you're like, oh, my God. But once you deal with those things and you use physical motion, you use talking out, you use whatever therapy, and really for guys, physical motion is probably the best thing, is like identifying what that is, bringing it to the surface, and then working it out physically. Gets that energy out of the body, because the body is a storehouse of energy and emotions and, you know, thought processes and the past, basically. So using those things. So if you are being triggered, use that as an example of, and there's something I need to work on.
Well, and get it out and have an incredible reward for the effort, and a masculine reward. You're stronger. You're fitter. I mean, we're doing the triple bypass this year. We're doing it through our gym partner. It's actually his team that we'll be on, but a lot of the guys from the Forge are there. I'm going to ride it this summer. I mean, that's a serious challenge for a lot of people. It certainly will be for me, but we'll all make it. Nobody will get left behind, period.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where it's like, it's not about how quickly you finish. It's about finishing.
Yeah,
like,
don't die.
Just get there. We're going to go as slow as we need to go, but we're going to finish this thing. Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot of riding. I love bicycles, man. But that'll be a test.
That's one of those things, as I get older, I'm like, maybe I got to get off the snowboard and skateboard and get on like a bicycle, something that's a little less jarring. But I'm still not there yet.
We can try it out.
You can go with
me anytime you want, brother.
I got to get some of those good padded shorts because it hurts my butt. is that too honest? I'm sorry about that.
Nope, there's all kinds of ways to ride bicycles that aren't smooth either.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the last couple of times I bought bicycles is like, I'll get a single speed because I like that workout.
Yeah.
And then I move out of the city and I move it back to Golden or someplace where there's hills, and riding a single speed on a hilly, it's, oh my God. The last one I bought was a bicycle messenger guy I bought it from. And really? He had like changed the head sprocket. Like, this guy's quads were ridiculous. And I'm trying to ride his bike. And you talk about a humbling experience. There was a 10-foot section on this one path in Golden that goes up about, I don't know, 25 degrees. It's going up, and then it goes up pretty steep to get to the next little peak. And I got to that part and just stopped dead. And I'm like, literally just, I can't push any harder. And I'm like, okay, maybe I need to change these gears. So, I mean, that's my experience. Maybe I need to hang out with you cool guys and learn how to go downhill.
I don't know. I just know that never had a bad day on the bicycle, man. Even crashed. I got more than enough scars to show that I'm more than willing to crash often. But it's always worth getting back up and going after it again.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I think we can kind of come around as we bring this plane in for landing. Like, getting back up is really the crux of how we as men generate our masculine sovereignty. And if you're not challenging yourself, if there aren't other guys around you challenging you, if you're not having adventures, if you're not getting out into nature and moving your body, then it's really hard to be a sovereign masculine man, because you're not building those muscles and finding your own foundation, because the storms of life will push you off your base any chance it gets. And if you like women, they will push you off your base any chance they get. So you got to build that base so that you can be the man that she needs and that you want to be. And as we kind of pull into the garage, as it were, how can guys find you, and what would be your final kind of parting words for the men out there who've been listening that maybe want to join the Forge or learn something, you know, take away from, you know, you, Mr. Adam Feuerstein?
Well, thank you, Jason. That what you're feeling and what you're thinking, you're not alone, and that there is incredible strength in allegiance with other men. There's incredible strength in not isolating and being a part of a community, especially one that's focused on integrity, that the things you hear and the things you see on television are not always real, and that by having a group of men around you that help you in a pursuit of your own personal sovereignty, you can find a degree of happiness that I promise you, you've probably never thought was possible.
Yeah. And gentlemen, we talk about it all the time. Got to get around other guys. You know, iron sharpens iron, masculine men sharpen masculine men. You need to recharge your batteries to get, you know, your masculinity back up so that you can be the man that your woman wants or that you want to be in the world. And so use these resources. Watch our episodes, watch Adam's episodes on The Forge, join The Forge, join the Mad Men, and stay tuned because we do have the Masculine Summit coming up, the Men's Summit. It may be in August now. We're looking at different venues and whatnot, but stay posted, you know, and keep, you know, keep in the loop and become part of the Mad Men Mafia. Make sure you like and subscribe so that we can keep you posted on The Forge, the Men's Summit, on what we're doing here. And until next time, we, as the Mad Men, and Adam, love you, and we are out.
Thank you.